Doesn't matter what you do for work, there are problems everywhere. Business is good, then it's bad. Economy's good, then it's bad. There are bad decisions, conflict, competition, politics, difficult people, incompetent people, rude people, arrogant people, unrealistic growth targets, budget cuts, layoffs, do more with less, be available around the clock. Sometimes, though, times are good, and it's smooth sailing. But that never lasts. Things inevitably change. New ownership, new leadership, new strategy, a new role, a new boss, new technology, new competition. And the unspoken assumption is that you're supposed to weather these challenges, showing up with a smile on your face and putting in maximum effort despite what's happening within or around you, despite the reality that you could be out of a job at any time through no fault of your own. Depressed yet? Welcome to my podcast episode about well-being. Wow. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mike, and we are back for the long overdue finale to my solo cast season 2. This one is for all those professionals out there who are under stress at work. One of the awesome parts of doing the well-being and performance coaching work that I do is getting to connect on a deeper level with executives and professionals. And in this episode, I am sharing some of the top struggles that I hear people going through in terms of well-being at work. I'm doing this because it's common to feel like our challenges are only ours, or like other people must be doing it better, because we compare how we're doing on the inside with people's professional exterior, which rarely reflects their inner reality. The truth is that a lot of people are struggling with some pretty big work-related challenges. And so the plan here is to dive into some of the big ones. I suspect that there's a good chance many of you will see yourself in some of this. And if you do, hopefully you gain some solace knowing you're definitely not the only one, and there's always a way forward. So here we go. Challenge number one. There's never enough time. AKA, I am so insanely busy that I don't have enough time for myself or to do the quality of job I want to do. So what does your typical day look like? Here's my rendition of how one person recently described it to me. Quote, I wake up and I am shot out of a cannon. I scramble around trying to feed the kids and get them ready for school or camp. If I'm working from home, I go from virtual meeting or call to call all day trying to respond to 100 emails at the same time. I'm usually booked solid. I hardly move all day except to go to the bathroom or the kitchen or conference room if I'm in the office. I scarf my lunch down, I race to finish whatever I need to get done and head back to duties on the home front. A lot of times I'm pulling out my work and finishing what I didn't get to at night, and then I go to bed and I do it all over the next day. So that's the story right there. Cramming 200 pounds of stuff into the 10-pound bag of life. Most people don't have enough time for themselves. And even when they have some time, they struggle to unplug or to mentally disconnect, and they spend the time with this nagging sense of guilt that they should be getting something more productive done. This is not a recipe for well-being, let alone for showing up as your best self as a leader or as a colleague or as a parent or a partner or friend and so forth. And so here's a question for you. Remember all those financial gurus who tell you that if you want to amass financial security or independence, that you have to pay yourself first? In other words, you got to set aside some percentage of your paycheck for savings and investments first before you go spending it on all that other stuff. My question is, do you do that with your well-being? Because the happiest and most successful people that I know do that. They put their well-being first. The overloaded and stressed people pay themselves last at exactly the time that they need it most. Well-being first isn't a license to be selfish or to be high maintenance. It's more about this recognition that whatever you want, professionally or personally, your vehicle to getting you there is you. If your vehicle isn't fully resourced, if it doesn't have a full tank, it isn't going to get you very far. Our mental and physical well-being is central to doing our best work, to performing at a high level, to fostering creativity and our best thinking, to increasing our energy and our compassion and our capacity to inspire and to influence other people and to be truly of service to the people in our lives. The people I work with who are or were formerly athletes at one time seem to get this instinctually because they have this experience with how they compete at their best when they feel not just physically good, but mentally good, relaxed, positive, in the flow. And they know that well-being is a huge driver of performance and success. And it is exactly the same with professional success. A lot of us recognize the truth in this, but then if you look at how we live, we treat well-being as the thing that comes after everything else gets done. Like, only after I take care of my kids, or after my work is done. Even if we're bought into it, modern culture seems designed to prevent us from obtaining this well-being. Modern culture has you living on constant high speed, has you dependent on technologies that have completely eradicated the boundaries between work and life, has you connected virtually more and more despite this already growing sense of disconnection that is afflicting our species. It has you working hard and harder to keep up with this rising baseline expectations for the standard of living. It also has you working for and amidst these organizations that are optimized to serve investors and profits first and foremost, not your well-being. Even the well-intentioned organizations struggle to do anything meaningful about your well-being. So the only way your well-being stands a chance is if you prioritize it, if you consider putting well-being first. And doing so is not selfish, nor is it a luxury, nor is it at odds with productivity. Your physical, mental, and emotional well-being are all key to you being the world-class version of yourself and having more to give the world around you. And as an absolute baseline, pulling this off means first, respecting your biology. What does it mean to respect your biology? Well, how many times have I gotten in an argument only to realize the real cause of it was, damn it, Mike, go eat a sandwich. You're just hungry, man. You're hungry. If we boil inner well-being down to basic biology, feeling good is largely a matter of our hormones, neurotransmitters, and these physiological processes being in balance. And so respecting your biology is tending to the things that drive this specifically. But today's desk job worker in particular has a remarkably uphill battle. If you look at it, our work has turned us into these zoo animal versions of ourselves. You know those pictures of the evolution of man, the picture with the hunched over ape-like ancestors gradually evolving into the fully upright Homo sapiens that we are today? I think that we need to add another one after Homo sapiens to that picture. I call him Homo smartphonicus, and he is the hunched over human with rounded shoulders and back looking down at a screen. How did Homo sapiens devolve into Homo smartphonicus? That's an excellent question. Eons of going to bed too late, binge-watching shows, waking up too early, sitting under artificial lights in front of LED screens on a couch or at a desk, watching cat videos between virtual meetings, away from nature, feeding on pesticide-laden, genetically engineered food from a box, and forgetting to breathe while waiting through copious amounts of email. Modern life starts us in a massive biological deficit. If we want true well-being and performance, the starting point is purely biological, i.e. getting enough movement, nutrition, and sleep. You do not have to crush it at the level of a high-performance athlete, but you need enough to offset the deficits of the life of Homo smartphonicus. Back in the day as a fitness coach, I had one lesson repeated to me over and over. Success in any of these domains boils down to one thing above all else. Me as a trainer. I'm kidding! Consistency! Consistency. It is all about consistency. When it comes to sleep, it's all about schedules and rituals. When it comes to nutrition, keep it simple. Less of what doesn't serve you, more of what does. When it comes to movement and exercise, forget outcomes and just find what you enjoy most. I am profoundly inspired by Nelson Mandela's life as a leader. That man spent a crazy number of years locked up in a 7-foot by 7-foot cell, living on a prison diet, yet he still managed to get a serious workout in every day. With no equipment, and he helped bring an end to one of the most oppressive political regimes in history. Be like Nelson. Challenge 2. If it isn't time, it's money. Financial concerns occupy a ton of our headspace. Layer on the cultural and social conditioning many of us Westerners have to contend with, and you have yourself a recipe for living in a constant mental state of lack. When you unpack it, what you find at the root of our money concerns is just straight up fear. Fear of not having enough, fear of various what-ifs. And this fear exists at all levels of the social and financial hierarchy. Even financially independent people with wealth that most people would only dream about still worry about it. They worry about not having enough. They worry about losing it. So the bottom line is money woes have so much more to do with the underlying beliefs and mindset around the resource of money than the amount of money itself. Money issues trigger our survival instincts. The only way out of this is to cultivate a mindset of enough. But the irony is that we spend our energy trying to get enough so that we feel like we have enough, not realizing that our very striving to get enough creates the feeling that we don't already have enough. What do you really need? And is it possible that you already have it? Sounds radical, I know. Challenge 3. This is a big one, usually expressed as, my work isn't fulfilling me. People feel this in a lot of different ways because there are a lot of underlying needs that contribute to what fulfills you as an individual. The most vital level comes down to having a sense of purpose or meaning. Humans, whether we realize it or not, have this intense need to be contributing to others or contributing to something bigger than ourselves that we derive meaning from, contributing to life. And that sense of contribution in turn feeds us. The other very vital level is about human connection. something a lot of people are starved from these days. So it's not everything, but a ton of this boils down to purpose and connection. That's what drives fulfillment. So the way out of this lack of fulfillment, it can take many forms depending on your situation, but at a basic level, it involves what I call rehumanizing work. More purpose, more connection, more creativity, more play, more mastering of craft. All these ways in which we derive true fulfillment and enjoyment in life and work. Challenge 4 is the next most common struggle that profoundly impacts well-being. And I'd sum this one up as going to work and feeling like you can't be your true self. This can show up as feeling like you're a square peg in a round hole, like you're wearing somebody else's suit. It can be like a role mismatch, it can be a culture mismatch, or there's the deeper concern of, is this really what I'm meant to be doing? It can also be the result of working in a difficult or even toxic environment where it doesn't feel safe to show up as yourself. Example of this, one senior leader that I worked with one-on-one described going to work as feeling like he's being followed around by a firing squad who might publicly execute him at any moment if he makes a wrong move. That is what we call a low safety environment. Of course, it doesn't have to be that extreme for this to really drag down your well-being. Even low-grade discomfort over time is an incredibly depleting experience. It's exhausting to uphold a facade or to try to fit yourself into a mold that isn't natural to you. It's at odds with success and with well-being. So the core of overcoming this challenge really is this journey of learning to be who you are. This is remarkably hard for most people. We're hardwired to want to fit in, and we learn young how to hide aspects of ourselves as we seek other people's approval. And then you layer on top of that the challenges of stepping into a professional context, and there's a lot of pressure to compromise, and you pay a price when you do this because it takes a lot of energy to make unnatural appear natural. Unless you're in a work situation where psychological safety is super high, which is extremely rare, it's a challenge to show up in full authenticity. But to be ultra clear about this, be who you are isn't just, here I am, this is me, unresolved patterns and all, take it or leave it. To be the truest version of ourselves involves doing the challenging inner work of understanding the roots of our patterns, how and when our survival instincts trigger us and send us into reactivity, replaying those loops that we inherited through social and psychological conditioning. But the rewards are so high when we release ourselves from those patterns. It's only then that we can show up free, natural, unencumbered, comfortable in our own skin, and capable of truly being who we are as our best selves. So if the essence of challenge 4 is to be who you are, the essence of challenge 5 is to be where you are. So simple to say, so difficult in practice. Be where you are. How many times have I heard people talk about how they leave work and then they struggle to unplug and really be present with their spouse or with their kids? And it's not just outside work. There's also a struggle to really be present with people at work or to be present with the task at hand. So many people spend so much of their time rushing around in this low-grade state of anxiety and distraction that they're on autopilot, and they're never quite in their bodies. Being where you are is the most essential gateway to ditching stress completely and dropping into a state of true well-being, contentment, or ease. It also makes you intensely effective. You're more with people. Your thinking is clearer. When all your attentional resources are channeled fully into the only moment that matters, what you're doing right now, it's like a superpower. The key to overcoming this challenge is to train the skill of learning to be where you are over and over again until it starts to take root in your life and it changes it from the inside out. Be where you are. Put well-being first. Cultivate a mindset of enough. Rehumanize your work through purpose and connection. Be who you are, be where you are. All right, everybody, that is all I have for you today. If I can ever be a resource for you, please reach out. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and may you enjoy tremendous well-being and success.